Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This episode, we have true paranormal encounters. So creepy, so terrifying, you may need a nightlight tonight. Our first story. I grew up living in my grandparents' house. It wasn't supposed to be permanent. My parents had just gotten divorced, and my mom needed help for a while. But a while turned into years, and eventually it just became home. My uncle died in that house in 1989. I never met him. I was born in 1993. But my family talked about him in this sad, careful, quiet kind of way. Like they didn't want to say the wrong thing. Even as a kid, I could tell something about it wasn't right. Officially, his death was ruled as an accident. As far as police are concerned, they said he fell down the stairs. But no one in my family believed that. He was young, in his 30s. He had been running with a bad crowd before he died. People no one really trusted. Supposedly owed some bad people money. And the night it happened, there were things that didn't add up. My grandparents always said it didn't make sense how he was found, the position he was in, the timing. Police said it was a freak accident, but they were convinced someone pushed him, that he was attacked or some kind of altercation, and that he was chased and pushed down the stairs. But the thing was, police never found any evidence of that. So why believe it was murder? About a week after my uncle's death, my grandparents got a letter. The letter didn't have a return address or a name, just one sentence written in messy handwriting. It read, "He got what he deserved." That was it. That was the only thing anyone ever got. My grandparents hired a private investigator. He believed there was foul play too, but just like police, they never found any evidence of that. Nothing concrete. Never had a suspect. Just that letter. I didn't know any of this when I first moved in. I was just a kid. I knew my uncle had died there, but my mom didn't want to scare me. I didn't learn the details until I was older. So for the first few months, it was all good. Until I started feeling it on the stairs. It's hard to explain, but there was always this feeling when you were walking up or down them. Like someone was right behind you. I mean, right there. Close enough that if you stopped suddenly, you'd expect them to bump into you. I remember one night, I was heading upstairs to go to bed. I got halfway up, and that feeling hit me so hard, I froze. I didn't turn around. I wasn't brave enough. I just stood there, staring up the rest of the stairs, feeling this presence behind me. Finally, I got the courage and ran the rest of the way up and slammed my door. After that, I started avoiding the stairs at night. I was too freaked out. But it didn't stop there, because I began to see him. He was never clear. He was never fully solid, but I recognized him from photos around the house. It was my uncle. I would catch glimpses of him, a figure in the hallway late at night. It looked like he was pacing back and forth, always the same path, like he was stuck in a loop. I remember one time so clearly. I was sitting in the living room watching TV. I looked up for a second, and there he was at the end of the hallway, standing there. And then as soon as I noticed him, slowly, he started walking back down the hall. That was the thing. It was like he still lived in the house, like he had somewhere to go. I didn't say anything to my grandparents, as the topic of my uncle made them upset, and I didn't want to do that to them. Eventually, my mom and I moved out. Life went on, I got older. It became something I tried not to think about. To be honest, I kind of thought that maybe it was my imagination. It's a bit creepy to live in a house where a family member died violently. So maybe it was just me being a kid. Until years later. We were all back at my grandparents' house for a big family dinner. My cousin was there. He was young, maybe 6 at the time. I was watching him while everyone else was in the kitchen. We were sitting in the living room, right where I used to be when I saw that figure in the hallway. Out of nowhere, he looked towards the stairs, pointed, and said, "The man on the stairs doesn't like me." I felt this wave of anxiety. I asked him what he meant. And he said, "He chases me when I go up there." I didn't know what to say. I had never told him anything about the house. The fact that my little cousin was seeing him too, I felt validated. After this, I began to think about my uncle's death more and more. Was he chased, or was he chasing someone else? What happened the night that he died? I'm not gonna lie, I became borderline obsessed. A few years after that, my grandparents passed away. The house went to my mom. She didn't want to live there, so she decided to rent it out. For a while, it just sat empty. Then finally, someone moved in. But they only lasted 3 weeks. It was also confusing, as when my mom showed the house, this guy loved it, said it would be great for his wife and young daughter. But 3 weeks after moving in, the tenant called my mom, furious, demanding his money back. At first, he wouldn't even explain why. Just kept saying there was something wrong with the house. Eventually, my mom got it out of him. They said they had been woken up multiple nights in a row by the same thing. Footsteps on the stairs. Not going down. Going up. Like someone was running fast, charging up the steps. Like they were chasing or being chased. They said one night they heard it coming toward their bedroom. They opened the door and saw a dark figure at the bottom of the stairs. The second it noticed them, it started running up the stairs straight at them. They left that night. Didn't take anything with them except what they could carry. And here's the thing. This family left a lot of stuff at the house, but refused to step back inside. After that, my mom never rented the house again and eventually sold it. She told me later that she had always felt something there too. That sometimes late at night, she would hear her brother's voice calling her name from the bottom of the stairs. I believe something is going on in that house. Because 3 different people experienced the same thing. Me, my cousin, and that tenant. And come to find out later, my mom did too. Whether it truly is my uncle or some kind of residual haunting, I don't know. Whatever it is, it's still there, on those stairs, waiting or running or trying to get out. I don't think my uncle fell. I think something really terrible happened in that house that night. And as long as it stays unresolved, the haunting will continue. I just know it will. Our next story. This happened when I was in high school living in Central Texas. A kid in my class was loaded. His family owned a huge piece of land out in the middle of nowhere, and he was throwing one of those big farm parties. This was always code for no parents, so kids could be as crazy and loud as they wanted. I'm not a huge partier. I almost didn't go, but everyone was talking about it all week, so I figured why not. The drive out there was already kind of sketchy. I was glad to have my friend Alex with me. He rode in the passenger seat blasting music while I tried to figure out where we were going. Once you get off the main highway, it's just dirt roads. You don't see streetlights or signs. There are barely any houses. You kind of just follow the car in front of you and hope they know where they're going. We finally made it, parked out in a field with a bunch of other cars. The party itself was pretty fun. Crowded, as expected. I hung out for a couple hours, but I couldn't stay late. My dad had me helping him build a shed in the backyard the next morning, and he was strict about curfew. So around 11, I decided to head out. Alex wasn't ready to leave at 11 and said he was gonna stay. so it was just me driving home alone. I figured I would be okay. It wasn't that far. That was my first mistake. By the time I got in my car and pulled away from the party, everything was already dark and quiet. The music faded fast once I got onto the road. Within minutes, it was completely silent. When I say it's dark out there, it's nearly pitch black because there are no incoming lights from traffic, no street lights, no houses nearby, nothing. I realized pretty quickly I had no cell service, so using maps to get out of here was going to be impossible. I had never been out this way before, so I didn't know where I was going. I also realized I didn't really remember how to get back to the highway. I thought I did, I told myself I did, so I just started driving. It was just dirt road, occasional turn, another dirt road. I figured as long as I kept moving in the same general direction, I'd have to hit something eventually. But after about 10 minutes, I started to get that feeling like I was going the wrong way. The road didn't look familiar at all anymore. I didn't remember passing any of this on the way in. I checked my phone again, still no signal. That's when I started to get uneasy. I kept driving. 5 more minutes, then 10. At that point, I knew for sure. I was completely lost. I had not seen one other car out here since I started driving. Just these endless dirt roads that all looked the same. Honestly, I could have been driving in circles for all I knew. I remember gripping the steering wheel a little tighter, trying to stay calm, telling myself I just needed to find a bigger road. That's when it happened. I looked up, and there was a man standing in the middle of the road. Just there. I didn't see him run out into the road or walk from the side. It was like he had appeared right in front of me. I slammed on the brakes, swerved to the side to avoid hitting him. The car skidded on the dirt, and before I could correct it, boom. I slammed my SUV into a tree. It all happened so fast. But after the wreck, for a second, everything went quiet, just the sound of the engine still running. I sat there, my heart pounding, trying to process what just happened. I looked back at the road. The man was gone. I looked up and down the road, but there was no one. Just so you can get a picture, on either sides of this road are just farms, so not really anywhere for him to hide. I sat there for maybe 5 seconds, just staring, waiting to see if he would reappear. But nothing. So I grabbed my phone, checked for service. I had none. I forced myself to get out of the car and check. The front end was messed up, the hood was bent, one headlight was out. But the engine was still running. It looked like I could still drive it, which was good because there was no one out here. And with no cell service, I would have been stuck in the dark alone. I turned to start walking to get back into the car, and that's when I heard it. A man's voice right behind me, like he was standing inches away. It was the most horrifying, low, angry scream right in my ear. I felt the warm breath on the back of my neck. I spun around instantly. There was no one there. Like I said, it was just fields, farms on either side of this road, and a few trees, including the one I slammed into, and he wasn't hiding behind there. I looked around and I just saw nothing. That's when I completely lost it. I didn't look around again. I jumped back into my car, slammed the door, and hit the gas. Hard. Still not a clue where I was going. I just went in the opposite direction as fast as I could. I drove like that for about 10 minutes, maybe more. I wasn't checking anything. Just going full panic attack at this point. And then, suddenly, I saw it. Headlights. Finally, I found the highway. I pulled onto it and didn't slow down until I was home. I got back way later than I was supposed to. My parents were already freaking out, asking where I'd been. I tried to explain it, but I don't even think I made sense. I just kept saying I got lost and there was a man in the road. A few days later at school, I asked some of the people from the party about the roads around there. Told them I got turned around. One of them asked me what direction I went, and I described it the best I could. And he just kind of looked at me and then said, "Yeah, you're not supposed to go that way." I asked why. He shrugged and said, "People say there's something out there, on those roads, especially at night. Town folklore, but that area is supposed to be haunted or something." I never went back out there again, and I still don't know what I saw that night or what I heard. But that man wasn't trying to get out of the way. It was like he was already there, waiting for me. Our next story. This is probably the strangest thing that has ever happened to me. I have to choose who I share this story with because I know I sound kind of crazy. 2 years ago, I had a dream that felt different. This one felt clear. I was standing in what looked like my house, but everything was slightly off, like a copy of it. But it was the same layout, same rooms. Then I saw her, a woman standing at the end of the hallway. She had long, dark, curly hair and really bright blue eyes. She wasn't scary or threatening. If anything, she felt calm. She turned and looked directly at me, very serious, and said clearly, "There is someone breaking into your house." That was it. I woke up immediately. I checked the clock. It was around 2 a.m. And I just kind of sat there for a second, trying to shake it off. It felt so unbelievably real, and I just had this gut feeling that something wasn't right. So I grabbed my phone and checked my Ring camera. I sighed in relief as everything looked good. I even got up and walked through the house, checked the doors, looked into the garage. I was locked up tight. Eventually, I convinced myself it was just one of those odd dreams and went back to bed. But it stuck with me, that woman especially. About 4 days later, I had the same dream again. The woman was there. This time she was even more direct. It felt urgent. She said the exact same thing. "There is someone breaking into your house." I just remember her tone because it was like she was so concerned. Like she genuinely cared about me and I felt connected to her in this very intense way. I'll never forget her face. She looked so scared. I woke up again, this time faster, and right away, I saw it, a notification on my phone. Motion detected. I would have probably slept right through this notification if I hadn't woken up at that exact moment. I opened the app, and there on my camera feed was a man, a tall figure wearing a hood, standing at my back patio door, jiggling the handle like they were trying to get in. I quickly dialed 911 and screamed at the top of my lungs, "Police are coming! I've called 911. On the camera, I watched the guy jerk his head back, look around, and then take off running through my backyard. He was gone. Police got to my house really quickly. I showed them the footage, and they took it seriously right away. A couple days later, they followed up and told me they believed it was someone who had been breaking into homes in the area recently. Apparently, this man had a history. Violent. Not just petty theft. That was enough to shake me because if I hadn't woken up at that exact moment, if I hadn't seen that notification, I don't know how far he would have gotten. Police eventually caught him and arrested him after he broke into another home just a few blocks over from me. This person wasn't so lucky. They lived through the ordeal, but it was violent, I'll just say that. But the part that really stuck with me didn't happen until a few months later. I was at a family get-together, a little mini family reunion at my aunt's house. We had a good time, dinner, everyone catching up. But the craziest thing was when we were going through old photo albums, just flipping through pictures, talking, laughing. And that's when I saw her in one of the photos. The woman with the black curly hair and the blue eyes from my dreams. Who is this? I asked. "That's your great-grandma when she was young," my mom said. But that's not how I remembered her. I had only ever seen photos of her when she was older, like in her 70s. She had gray hair. This photo was different. She was young, maybe in her 20s or 30s. Long, dark, curly hair, blue eyes, and the second I saw her, I felt that exact same feeling I had in the dream. I knew it was her, her face, that familiar presence. It was familiar because she's my family. I stared at that photo a long time. My family asking me, "Are you okay?" I didn't even know how to explain it because how do you tell people that the person who warned you twice that someone was breaking into your house in a dream was actually a relative who had been dead for years? I tried to come up with other explanations. Maybe I saw that photo at some point and my brain just recreated it in a dream. Perhaps it was just a coincidence, but the timing, the fact that I woke up right when I needed to, and the way she said it, clear, direct, like she was trying to make sure I understood, like she was protecting me. I didn't know. All I know is if I hadn't listened to that dream, I might have slept through the moment someone tried to break into my house. And I don't know if I would still be here. My great-grandma made sure that didn't happen. But that isn't even the craziest part. After the reunion, I told my mom all about it, the dreams. And as I'm telling her, I notice she's crying. She said that when my great-grandmother was dying, my mom was at her bedside. The two were close. And my mom asked her to watch over her and her family. Now, my mom was super young at this point. She wasn't married. She didn't have me yet. But she always wanted my great-grandmother to stay with her, to stay with us. My mom said my great-grandmother nodded her head and said she would. And she did. I'm still shocked by all this and feel so thankful. So for those of you who think you're going through life all alone, you aren't. Ancestors, relatives you may have never even met, are looking out for you. Our next story. We rented a cabin in a remote part of Tennessee for a long weekend, just me, my husband, and our 6-year-old son. A very old but beautiful place, tucked away in the woods, surrounded by nothing but trees. The listing said it was secluded, which at the time sounded great. But when we got there, it felt more isolated than we expected. The road in was long and narrow, and once we pulled up, you couldn't see another house anywhere, just forest, woods, for miles. Inside, the place was older than it looked in the pictures. Very minimal decorations, there wasn't much on the walls, no family photos, just one thing. A watercolor painting hanging in the living room, above the fireplace. It showed a man standing in the woods. The trees were tall and bare. In the way it was painted, everything else looked faded except for him. He was sharp and clear compared to the rest of the painting. He was facing forward, looking straight ahead. I was creeped out by the picture. I remember pausing for a second when I noticed it, but I didn't say anything. But our son did. Right away, he pointed and asked, "Who was that?" He walked right up to the painting and stood right in front of it. We told him we didn't know, probably just something the owner found. But he didn't move on from it. He kept going back to it throughout the day, just staring. The first night, everything was good, until it wasn't. We had dinner, played a game, got him ready for bed. I tried to ignore how quiet and dark it was outside. Later, as we were turning off the lights, our son stepped into the hallway, looking toward the back windows. Then he said, very calmly, "There's a man outside." I asked him what he meant. He pointed toward the woods behind the cabin. "He's standing out there. He's been watching the house all night." I told him it was probably just the shadows or his imagination, but he kept looking out there. My husband went over to the windows to check and said, "Buddy, I don't see anything. I think we're all good." The next morning, everything felt fine. The sun was shining. The birds were singing. We even joked about it a little with our son. But I noticed something. Our son didn't want to go far from the cabin. We suggest walking a trail behind the house. He shook his head immediately. "No, the man is back there," he said. Later that afternoon, we caught him standing by the back window, just staring again. not moving. I walked over and asked what he was doing. He said, "He keeps getting closer." That night, things got worse. We had all gone to bed when my son came running into our room. This time, he looked terrified. "He's inside now," he said. My husband jumped up, ran down the hallway, checked all the doors, found the windows were locked, looked in every room, every closet. But everything was locked. "There's no one here. It's okay," my husband said to our son, and I remember trying to stay calm, telling him maybe it was just a dream. But he was adamant. The man was inside the house. There was nothing I could say to change his mind. We brought him into our room that night. I turned on the TV for him. He didn't sleep much. Every time I checked on him, he was awake, looking toward the doorway. By the next day, we were all on edge. My son didn't talk much and wasn't playing like he usually did. He kept going back to that painting, standing in front of it again. It was like he was trying to see something in it. At one point, I asked him, "Why do you keep looking at that?" And he said, "Because that's him." That night, the third night, he woke us up again, but this time he was shaking. He grabbed my arm and whispered, "He's in here." I sat up immediately. "Where?" I asked, and he pointed to the corner of our bedroom. "Right near the closet. He's right there." We turned on the light. There was nothing there. The room was empty. I watched my son looking at that corner, and it wasn't like he was imagining something. It was like he was watching someone. We were supposed to stay another night, but we didn't want to. The next morning, we packed up and left, and I was so glad. A few days later, curiosity got the better of me, and I messaged the rental owner, asking about the painting. I wrote, "Hi, I was just wondering, do you know who the man is in the watercolor above the fireplace?" She responded pretty quickly and said, "That was painted by my dad. It was his cabin. That's him in the picture." Then she added, "He died about 4 years ago, but said that cabin was his favorite place on earth. He didn't want to leave." I stared at that message because there is no way my son could have known that. But the part that really gets me is this. The entire time we were at the cabin, my son couldn't stop talking about him, watching the woods, staring at that painting, but the moment we left, he never mentioned the man again. Not once. A few weeks later, I asked him about it again. He just looked at me confused and said, "What man?" I do believe my son saw the ghost of the man who owned that cabin. I believe he saw him in the woods, he saw him in the house, and he saw him in our bedroom that night. I believe he felt we were intruders and wanted us out. His daughter said he never wanted to leave that cabin. I don't think he did. Our next story. I used to work at a small gym in my town. Pretty outdated, just a couple rooms, front desk, and a long hallway that led to the locker rooms in the back. I worked the closing shift, and at night, it was pretty quiet. Everyone typically trickled out 10 to 15 minutes before closing time. As a part of my routine, I would turn off the music so people basically knew it was time to go home. Before closing up, I always did the same thing. I was supposed to check the bathrooms, turn off the lights, and lock up. On this particular night, right before closing, I did my final walkthrough. Everything looked empty. There was only about two or three people there late that night, and I watched all of them leave. They were regulars, so they always said goodbye to me as they headed out. I turned off all the lights in the back rooms, checked the locker rooms to make sure no one was in there. It was empty, and started walking towards the front. That's when I heard it. A locker slam shut, echoing from the hallway behind me. I stopped and listened, thinking maybe I had missed someone. Maybe someone was still in the locker room. So I walked back, turned on the lights, and called out, "Hello, is anyone here?" We're closed. Silence. I checked every stall, every locker. Empty. There was no one back there. I was pretty weirded out by this point. I shut the lights off again, just wanting to get out of there. Walking back towards the front. Halfway down the hallway, I heard footsteps. They were close. It sounded like they were right behind me. I turned around instantly. The hallway was dark. There was no one there. I turned to keep walking quickly now, and I heard them again. Footsteps right behind me. Turning around again, there is no one there. From here, I ran straight to the front desk, grabbed my keys, and flew out the front door, locking it behind me. The next morning, my manager called me, and he sounded confused. He said every locker was open, every single one of them. There were only two people with keys to that place, him and me. He even checked with the cleaning crew, asking if they did it. They said no. I quit shortly after this. There's no way I was ever gonna work another night there. Which one creeps you out the most? Let me know in the comments. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode. Next time, I've got so much more mystery coming your way. I'll see you then.